Hello, Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley, all my friends down near the Georgia, Florida line. I hope everybody is doing well. And I tell you, we need to be keeping our eye on the weather. We are in the midst of the tropical hurricane season. And there's a storm that's brewing around the coast of Florida, around South Florida. We just need to watch it and see where it's going to go. There are thoughts that it could be headed toward the panhandle. And, you know, if it comes up through the panhandle from the Gulf, we're going to get possibly some rain and wind from it here in West Central Georgia. So let's make sure we keep our eyes on that. Also, we are still in the middle of a pandemic. The world don't stop because we're in a pandemic, but we're learning how to live with it. I certainly want to thank our educators that was on with us last week that gave us the insight on how the school is going to continue to operate for our children and for the parents that are truly concerned about that and wanting to know how things are going to work. Those have been following the news. You are also aware that we lost a giant. We lost an icon in African-American culture and African-American leadership ranks. And that was the Honorable Congressman John Lewis. And all week we have witnessed historic events of him being laid to rest. And I tell you, one of the most powerful moments for me was watching the horse-drawn wagon crossing the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. The bridge where Representative Lewis himself gave a little blood so that we can have a little freedom and opportunity. And so the sacrifices that he made for us and the things that he endured for us that he termed and deemed good trouble is something that we all can learn from. And I wanted to reflect on his legacy and what he meant to us and speak with some of the young leaders here in our community that can have that conversation with us. And I'm excited to have a lineup of young leaders that's going to chime in and talk about the history and the legacy of Representative John Lewis. We're going to start with Ms. Tonza Thomas, who is the current vice chair of the Democratic Party of Georgia, former president of the NAACP. Now, Tonza, I know you were in Atlanta Wednesday for Representative Lewis' placement of his body to lie in state at the state capitol. Tell us about that experience.
Well, it was like laying to rest a family member, simply because when you're an activist, you don't get a lot of support. If you guys remember in 2016, myself and my counterpart, Marquise Skinny Avery, was arrested during a peaceful protest. And to stand on the shoulders and actually visit as he leaves this earth, this man, it was so emotional for me. And I want to shout out to State Rep Calvin Smyre, because Calvin made sure he led us through that. And as our representative, I appreciate that more than anything.
Well, that's awesome. I did see him in some photos as well up there, engaging in the process. And you know, Calvin is Representative Smyre. He's a legend within itself. I mean, you know, he served on the state level now for almost 50 years. Many of those leaders he's had an opportunity to work with at a very intimate level. Tonza, do you think? We're losing a lot of our heroes, a lot of our leaders. The Honorable C.T. Vivian and the Honorable Elijah Cummins passed just last year, and now the Honorable John Lewis. Are we learning from the younger generation, from their examples? Do you think we're in a position to carry the mantle forward, Tonza?
I do believe we are. We're in a perfect position to do that. And like you said, in the past 5 years, we've lost a lot of our legends. And so in my 40s, it's my job and our job to make sure that our young folk know that this is not new. Activism is not new. Protesting is not new. John Lewis embodied getting in good trouble. And Julian Bond, in 2015, Julian Bond left here first. And when we did the 50th March on Selma, I got a chance to meet and take pictures with Reverend C.T. Vivian and our youth council of the NAACP. We had an opportunity to take pictures with Dick Gregory. And so all these guys are leaving us, but it's our job to make sure that our children and our children's children know that, hey, this is not new. We're just picking up the mantle and we're taking it forward.
You know, C.T. Vivian was an amazing guy as well. He did a lot of work with us with Georgia Appleseed, especially with the work that we was doing in the Atlanta area. So it wasn't uncommon for him to show up at one of our board meetings and help us strategize and work through issues. And that's what I love so much about him and about his work, you know. All the way down to recently at a presentation that I attended at the Atlanta City Council, and he was there speaking. And he, in his own words, he would uplift the younger generation. He would challenge them and encourage them to get involved, to be that leader, to be that person to step forward. He didn't have the policy of, well, wait till I'm done, then you do it. He was like, no, do it now. The urgency of now.
Right.
Roy, you were there Wednesday at the state capitol as well. Did you get a feeling of that urgency of now?
I did. You know, Tonza and myself and Toya Tucker, you know, we stood there over his body and we all put our hands on the casket and the flag. And I whispered between the three of us, I said, Lord, just give us a little bit of his torch, the light from his torch. Just permeate our bodies with just a little bit of that light so that we can press forward toward the mark, you know. And so, absolutely, it felt surreal to be there because the love, those people that were there, it was so many people there. That it felt surreal, but it also felt real, and it felt meaningful. I felt like I'm here for a reason, and I don't want to forget what he's done. And God has allowed me to be here today because he has more purpose left than us.
Wow. That was amazing. That was amazing. And you're right. Toya Tucker, she was there too. And she's, you know, of course, one of our newly elected city council members. And that means a lot. It is very symbolic to have someone that's about to transition into leadership to be there to experience that and to be a part of that process as well was just absolutely phenomenal. Now, Demetrius McBride, from a black male perspective, a younger black male perspective that does a lot of work in the community, write articles, things of that nature, contribute to the greater conversation of what's going on in the community. How did the legacy or the life of Representative John Lewis impact you? And what from his life do you think you'll be able to take forward to help you on your trek?
One thing that impacted me the most is his willingness to give up himself for everybody, for humanity as a whole. He was definitely a leader for civil rights, but he stood up for injustices of all kinds, be them for African Americans, for those of the LGBTQ community. He made sure to stand on the right side of history and in times getting into that good trouble, but always doing it for the right reason. And it made me realize and to self-reflect that you have to do what's right, what God has called you to do, and what your purpose and passion is to do has to be what is for the best will of man. And I can honestly say, reflecting on John Lewis's life, looking over his history, I never got the opportunity to meet him, but studying him, it's amazing how much he was always on the side of doing what is right for all humankind.
You know, and he also did what was right oftentimes at a very high price. You know, he knew mm-hmm. what was going to happen when they walked across the bridge, yet he continued that journey across that bridge. As a young person right now, as a young leader, do you see us having those type challenges these days where we're contemplating should we cross that bridge in the same metaphorical sense as Congressman Lewis?
Absolutely. Earlier this week, of course, at the city council meeting, several young leaders and old leaders alike got together to support Councilman Park Barnes. Ordinance, Justin Allen did a fabulous job. Tonza did a fabulous job. I could not make it. I was a little under the weather there. However, metaphorically and sometimes physically, those challenges are still being faced. We're still being healed in the streets today, for lack of a better word, better terminology to call it, it is what it is. So we still must stand up and fight for what we believe in, for what's right. We're gonna face those challenges, and my only prayer is that we can face them with the grace and tenacity as our ancestors before us, as a Representative John Lewis did.
Awesome. Awesome answer. You got just a Sunday conversation with Teddy Reese. I'm speaking with some young leaders in our community as we remember the Honorable Representative John Lewis for the person that he was, for his contribution to our society. Just alone, he was greater than life. He gave many of us the inspiration that we needed to fight for the next day and for the moment as it is, because too often we can become discouraged and want to give up. We feel like the world is against us. We feel like there's so many things on our shoulders and we'll stop. But when we think about the life of this man and the fact of the things that he did, the battles that he fought, the physical injuries that he endured just to make sure that he continued to fight for what was right, was absolutely just amazing. Justin Allen, we're going to pick up here with you, my friend. Demetrius McBride talked about the meeting earlier that was earlier this week at the city council meeting, where we are talking about putting some measures in place so that we can have some type of checks and balance systems to review what's happening with our police department, you know, the same police department that is funded by our tax dollars. And Justin, in the vein of thinking about that, when I think about Congressman Lewis and I think about Good Trouble, I think about the fact that they were always very strategic and they were always very organized. And they approached things from a systematic perspective to where it was almost impossible for the person on the other end to say no. It was just that soul stirring that they could not deny the people the right that they were asking for, the provision that they were asking for, because they didn't have wiggle room to get out of it and come up with some type of irrational basis as to why they should not do that. In today's society, as young leaders, Justin, do you think that we are operating with that same level of strategicness? And if not, what can we do to incorporate a little bit more of that?
Think that we are getting there, Teddy. You know, and working with young people, I think we are more willing to cross organizational boundaries and willing to share ideas and willing to keep the ideas that were shared, you know, within the core of, you know, supporters, because we have to understand that everyone that may be in attendance to your meeting or, you know, in your circle may not be for you. You know, so I think, you know, with this group of young people, especially here in Columbus, Georgia, you know, especially with the ones that you have on the line, man, I really see, you know, camaraderie. And I think we're working towards a common goal, and we're willing, you know, to come together as so many did, you know, when John Lewis and Martin Luther King and so many others were marching and protesting. It took organizations, not a singular entity, but people from across state lines, organizational lines, party lines, to come together for one common goal. And I see that we're doing that. We're working together. There are people, you know, that are willing to take the lumps physically, and there are people that are willing to take the lumps when it comes, you know, to jobs and, you know, all across the gamut of ways that we really have to take this stand. So, you know, no, we're not there completely, but we're working on it. And I'm proud of the work that our young people are doing today.
You know, I watched the meeting, the city council meeting that's been brought up in this conversation here. I watched the meeting from home, and I saw Tunza with her hat on, with the grieving hat that a lot of mothers would wear at the funerals. I saw you, Justin, give your passionate speech without looking down at one note. I saw Sean Gatewood stand up at the very end and kind of sum everything up and bring it all together. And I saw the passion of young folks that are desperate to have someone listen to them and help us get through this. Now, as realists, we have to face the reality of the possibility that this may not happen because we may not have the votes to get it through city council. But I think right now it's safe to say that we would have four votes, which means we would only need one more vote and possibly a tiebreaker from the mayor if you're talking about five votes. So if we push for 2022 for a candidate to run for at-large city council and a good solid mayoral candidate to gain this political power to get the things done, would you see that as the route that someone like a John Lewis would have taken in the past to help them get what we felt we passionately needed for the people in our community?
Oh yeah, absolutely, man. And I think about this often, right, as we prepare to go into these next few, you know, election cycles, man. And a lot of times you don't necessarily, I've talked to people, they don't necessarily feel like they want to run, but we understand that, hey, we have to have people in these seats that can vote, you know, in our favor, that can represent our communities and that are going to be the voices that we need at the city council level. So yeah, I definitely think that's something that John Lewis would have done, because he did it. You know, I think people get it misunderstood that public service is a thankless job a lot of times. It's not glamorous. You don't make a lot of money. I think people think that you can make more decisions than you really can. So the sacrifice that one makes to run for office and then to hold it, you know, I definitely think that that is something that John Lewis, you know, stood for and did, and something that I think we will see more young folks that are going to step up and step out and run for some of these offices, and we're going to back 100%.
You know, Justin, one last quick question for you. When I looked at the presentation and I saw so many beautiful black women all across that facility, so many, you know, black women that I have the opportunity to work with here locally and really accomplish a lot. And I thought about it from the perspective of the fact that oftentimes in more recent elections, black women have been the largest voting bloc out of a lot of different entities, especially the ones that have made a significant impact. It's been the vote of the black woman. So with that in mind, and with all of them that was there, would it be political suicide for any elected official to ignore the message that was being delivered on Tuesday at that city council meeting?
Absolutely, especially right here in Columbus, Georgia, because I think when you talk about, I love the display of unity that our black women continue to show over the ages, right? They have led the way since the beginning of, since creation, right? Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. I mean, seeing that, it just continues to show that, you know, they understand that there are strength in numbers, and they understand that, you know, one singular voice backed by thousands and thousands of willing and ready bodies means something. And I know that our city council, you know, has to take that into consideration, because if not, you're going to have a lot to deal with come the next time you ask those same women to come out for you as their candidate and to you know, raise the votes for them. So, you know, they can play with those women if they want. You know, I think what Tanza, you know, said about black mothers, and so many of them are black mothers and sisters and daughters, you know, they understand that we cannot continue to play these games, and they are leading the way hands down. So thank you to our black women and to our fellas. It's time for us to really step up and protect our women.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And let's not forget, you know, I don't think we would be having this conversation if it wasn't for Shamika Avery and Takara Hemingway and Toya Tucker that started us with that first march that brought out thousands to rally right there peacefully at the government center. And from that, we have seen a more recent snowballing effect of a lot of people, you know, getting on board saying, hey, you know, let's harness this energy. And even at that speech that day at that event, Tanza Thomas talked about the subpoena power which is it was so basic, but it could clear up so much. And it's not to go after officers, it's really to protect them. is to protect them, because when we put all the information out there in the public, now everybody knows what happened from the investigation, and no one feels like any secrets are being kept. And I just don't see, I don't understand the argument that it harms someone. And I would certainly entertain anybody who wants to come on and talk about that. But, you know, we can have the conversation about it. But, you know, Tonza was talking about it when she was NAACP president. She was talking about it a month before we showed up Tuesday. She had been talking about it years before that. So it wasn't the first time the city council had heard that the people here had an interest of having subpoena power within one of the organizations to look at that. Skinny, I want to just kind of transition to Marquis Skinny Avery here. Skinny, I kind of wanted to wrap up talking with you because I think, you know, I out of many of the young professionals we have here in the city, very few has a record that stands up to yours to having that tenacity and the wherewithal to rally people, even way back with the Trayvon Martin situation here locally. You were the person that was pulling people together and making sure that Columbus, Georgia, had a voice in this matter. And in a lot of instances, you were demonized. A lot of instances, you were talked about. A lot of instances, people tried to trash you because you wanted to lift the young voice, because you wanted to lift the people. Now we see all sorts of people trying, you know, doing the same thing that you did then, and rightfully so, because it needs to be done. However, you stood in there. And you took the shots and you took the blows and you sacrificed much of yourself to set this foundation for us to be able to do this now. When you look at Representative John Lewis and you think about even him starting at a young age, at the age of 24, reaching out to Martin Luther King and asking him, you know, that he could be engaged and involved with some things with them, and then pulling him under their wings to progress. Give us your take on on Representative Lewis' legacy, and what does that mean for us here in Columbus, Georgia, and what does that mean for our young leaders?
I tell you what, you want somebody to introduce you, then get Teddy Reese to do it. I actually had the opportunity to meet John Lewis on three separate occasions. Last year, I had the opportunity to greet him again at the Congressional Black Caucus Annual Legislative Conference. And I think I've told you this story, Teddy, before. And John Lewis was there, and he was what I call holding court, where there was hundreds of people around him. And I was able to sneak in there and to get a picture with him. And while all of these people are around him, in his most quiet little shy voice, he said, "Where are you from?" And it kind of stuck out to me, because I'm like, man, like, you got all of these folks around you, and you trying to have a little side conversation with everybody you come across. And it shows humility about him and his ability to also, I believe, to be down to earth. I think that John Lewis taught us above all is how to live. If we really want to believe in that, and that folk, that service to others is the rent that we pay for our time here on earth. And I think that John Lewis served well. Tonza brought it up earlier about 2016 when me and her were locked up for getting in good trouble. And even then we were inspired by John Lewis. And one of the things about John Lewis that, you know, he started out as a young man and he died an elder, but John Lewis was in all sorts of ways always keeping himself around young people, always trying to figure out what young people were doing, whether it was even, you know, dressing like himself and going to the comic convention. But I would add this on and end it at this, is that I think that his last public appearance, when he appeared at the Black Lives Matter street mural in D.C. with the mayor of D.C., I think that actually spoke a lot of who John Lewis was. I think that
John Lewis saw himself in the young people that were energizing the Black Lives Matter movement,
mm-hmm.
While at the same time, the young people saw within John Lewis a leader, an icon, and somebody to emulate in a sense. And a lot of times we forget that when we think that old John Lewis was quiet and he was humble, but back in John Lewis' day, he was known as a radical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had to edit out his speech before he went and spoke at the 1963 March on Washington because they didn't want to upset the Kennedy administration. And so I think that especially as me as an activist, I'm even more inspired by the life of John Lewis, and I realized this is that this isn't a sprint, and it's not even a marathon. But what we are dealing with in life is a relay race, and I believe that we run as fast and as hard as we can, and when we start to give up and when we start to get a little weak, then you pass that baton to another generation, and you pass it to people who are ready to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
And like the righteous Reverend Al always say, and if you scared, just say you scared. And get on out
right.
the way and let somebody else do the work. So,
because we have a lot of work to do, brother.
It's been amazing to hear everybody else's experiences with John Lewis, and I think that we're the world is a better place because of his coming through.
Absolutely. We have a lot of work to do, as you just said. And I tell you, I couldn't think of a more fitting radio program to honor John Lewis, Representative John Lewis, the Honorable John Robert Lewis, than to hear from young leaders that will stand on his shoulders and be the ones that hold those broad shoulders for the next generations to come. And when we reflect on the life of the Honorable John Robert Lewis and think about the many things that have been said on this program, this one radio program, and reflect on how people considered him radical and things of that nature, I often look at some of us, even some of us on this call. We've been called controversial. We've been called radical. We've been called troublemakers. You know, we've been called everything except young leaders trying to make a difference. And when I reflect on the leaders of my past, it convinces me and it motivates me and it inspires me to move forward. I'm going to leave us with this quote from the representative, the Honorable John Robert Lewis. He said, when you see something that is not right, not fair, not just, you have to speak up. You have to say something. You have to do something. Just that simple, y'all. Just that simple. Those are the words of Representative John Lewis. And I want us to remember that. And when we're more focused on what people think about what we're doing and how what people are going to say about what we're doing or how people are going to respond to what we're saying or what we're doing, when we're putting too much energy into worry about the naysayers and the haters, I want us to think about the Representative John Lewis. I want us to think about the Honorable John Robert Lewis and the life that he lived and the words that he left us with. Because now we have to do this. Now we have to carry this torch. Now we have to carry the mantle. Now it is time for the newer generations to stand up and make sure that the legacy and the culture of our people continues. And that children in the near future will have their heroes and their leaders to read about, those that their parents will tell them about, because our legacy continues. Our people continues. The spirit of Representative John Lewis, the spirit of the Honorable Martin Luther King, the spirit of the Honorable C.T. Vivian, the spirit of the Honorable Julian Bunn, the spirit of the Honorable Elijah Cummings, the spirit of so many leaders that have come before us and moved on will live in us, and they will guide us. And we just need to make sure that we are there to stand up when we need to speak up when we need to say something when something needs to be said. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese, honoring the life of the Honorable John Robert Lewis. May he rest in peace, and may he forever know that we are extremely grateful and thankful for everything he did to advance our people and our culture and the United States of America. God bless.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns, or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.